Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hi, everybody. A very warm welcome. Today, I am with Nestor Kornblum, co-director and co-founder of the International Association of Sound Therapy. He is a pioneer in overtone singing and a multi-instrumentalist. In addition to having released over 10 albums of music for healing, meditation, and transformation, Nestor conducts courses, workshops, and performs concerts worldwide. He's also the author of the book Overtone Chant, A Practical Guide, which has been published in over 6 languages. Welcome, Nestor, to Voice Rising.
Thank you, Kara. It's a delight and honor to be here.
Yeah, it's so good to have you today. You have been exploring and practicing the ancient art of overtone singing, which is also referred to as vocal harmonics, I believe, since 1995, but perhaps you have been doing it for hundreds of years in past lives, who knows? And you've been paying particular attention.
It
feels like it, right? It sounds like it because it's just so one with your being. You've been really doing a lot of work also with the therapeutic and meditational uses that overtone brings us. For all of those listeners that might not know what overtone singing is, how would you define it or how would you share its magic?
I believe perhaps the best metaphor or comparison is to compare the human voice with a beam of white light. And we know that white light, when it passes through a prism, is refracted. It's separated into the pure constituent frequencies of light that all together make up white light. And of course, I remind the listeners that there are not only 7 colors of light, there are only 7 visible colors of light. And of course, there are thousands, millions more in the infrared and the ultraviolet spectrum, which are not visible to the human eye. Nevertheless, they are pure frequencies of light. So overtone singing is very similar because the human voice is also composed of an infinite number of mathematically related pure frequencies, which is really the rainbow of the voice. And these frequencies are also arranged very mathematically and specifically in an ascending and descending scale or ladder series. In fact, it's called the overtone series. And these pure frequencies literally are the building blocks of the human voice and, in fact, all sounds that exist.
Which is stunning. I love that. The rainbow, like the rainbow of the voice. It's very beautifully done. Maybe we should just listen a little bit to your overtone singing. You sent us in some wonderful music. We could start with the track Evolution. Would you like to say a few words before we listen?
Well, evolution is a track that is part of my quantum harmonics CD. It's my first solo CD where I do all the voices and all the instruments, except for this particular track. My wife Michelle and also co-founder of the International Association with me, she sings on this particular track in a way that she, in a style that she has not done anywhere else. So it's quite different. I'm also playing didgeridoo and overtone flute. Please listen to the differences between the overtone flute and the overtones of the voice. You'll see one sort of flows into the other, and those who don't have a trained ear may not be able to distinguish. However, every time you hear a flute-like sound, it's either the voice or an overtone
or the flute.
Flute.
Yeah, it's probably not the didgeridoo, exactly. Well, let's listen. Let's listen to...
No, didgeridoo will be
very deep. Exactly. Let's listen to Evolution. This is Nestor Kornblum. There you hear the haunting beauty of overtones right at the end, that beautiful whistling sound. You also heard Michelle's voice on that track, the didgeridoo, of course, and the flute. Nestor, the many cultures have had overtone singing, and many indigenous cultures have believed and still do believe that sound is the creator of life. It's a force behind all creations. And they use it a lot for healing, four shifting states of consciousness. The late medium Edgar Allan Case, he said that music will be the medicine of future. That was a few, you know, maybe more than a half a century ago. Do you think that we're arriving? It seems like there's a renaissance happening.
Oh, I've actually been quoting Edgar Casey for 20-something years because I was aware of his work. And yes, it was somewhere between 1925 and 1945 that he predicted this. Mm-hmm. So it's a good 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And definitely that we are living now, that future that he predicted. Sound is most definitely the medicine of the future. We have made enormous leaps and bounds in understanding some of the applications, therapeutic, curative applications of sound in the last, you know, few decades. And of course, we're still scratching the surface, because many people believe that as we are vibratory beings, and this is what we teach and what we believe, as we are vibratory beings, the most rapid and effective way to create any change in the human organism is by means of vibration. Yes. The human voice is tremendously powerful and influential in this respect. How overtones go just a little step further than using the voice in the fact that they focus in. Not only does the overtone singer produce the fundamental voice, but he also focuses in on specific harmonics, which are pure frequencies. Mm-hmm. And these codes, these sonic codes, I'm sure will prove to have many, many therapeutic applications that we don't yet know about. However, there are quite a few that we already do know about. And I'm delighted after these 27 years or so of Michelle and I working nonstop, traveling around the world, and now finally people coming to us more for their training, that sound really has taken off exponentially in the last few in the last couple of years, and in fact during this last not so happy time that we've been going through for the last 2-3 years, it's exploded even more because people have been confined to their apartments for long periods, into their homes, and sound is one way of breaking free of your physical boundaries and traveling in the ethers and in the astrals and in spirit.
Yes. Yeah, it was amazing that we here in Berlin, there was not only the lockdowns, but the choirs and everything. People, many people, they love to sing and they would go to their choir. So these were all forbidden for the last 2 years, right? We had no choirs, no kind of singing. But I think people were really thirsty for feeling in balance and feeling in harmony and having a voice practice, which they could do also by themselves. Right. And I think what's so stunning about overtone singing is that it is regenerating and deeply relaxing at the same time. So it's one of those, I mean, I think with singing too, but it's amazing how it can bring you to a deep state of relaxation and the feeling of the feeling of, you know, slowing the breath and being tuned in to everything. And at the same time, you always, or I at least, feel much lighter and more rejuvenated and uplifted after the practice, right? So that is something very rare. I think that is something... I don't know. I play many instruments, but there's a deep alignment that happens with overtone singing, and it's precious. And as far as I know, share.
No, go on. You were finishing.
No, I was saying, I think what is also precious is that there are so many people that think that they cannot sing, you know, but But you know, and I know that everybody has, number one, a voice, and everybody can unlock the mystery of these vocal harmonics and these really hauntingly beautiful and mysterious tones that are naturally carried within the body. And that gives a freedom not only in the sense that you can make music, but the freedom that there is nobody who cannot do this art form. Like, it is available to everybody. You do not need years of practicing your fingering at the piano, or you just need a willingness to deeply listen and to understand maybe certain things of the muscles and the tongue, and you know, but it's very accessible, right? It's a very accessible way of...
It's accessible. It does obviously require plenty of practice if you want to get those if you want to get those beautiful tones clear, and if you eventually want to be able to master the scale so that you can create melodies and music with it instead of simply a meditative, you know, most people after even just a weekend workshop with me are able to create random harmonics that come out beautifully. And I do, I have developed, of course, a very effective teaching method where people learn in a very short time how to ascend and descend the scale in consecutive order of overtones. This is where many people do not learn this or do not teach this. And so what you get are lots and lots of sound healers singing random harmonics, which in itself is very powerful and relaxing. However, one can go further and become a bit more technically adept. And the beauty of overtones or harmonics is when you get technically adept, you don't become mechanical. You still can always sing through your heart the melodies that come through your heart with compassion and with a healing intention. Simply, you can go further. And the benefits, the coherence that listening to and singing overtones is very powerful, because it reestablishes coherence at the physical, mental, emotional, psychological, and sometimes the spiritual level. And as you were saying earlier, it things click into place and come into realignment because of the mathematical purity of the relationships and the musical intervals on the overtone scale. Remember that all Western music is using a man-made synthetic scale based on the even-tempered piano scale that Bach introduced, Johann Sebastian Bach introduced in the late 1600s, 1691, or 1692, with that musical piece that he wrote. And since the even-tempered scale was adopted by the Western world, we've gained musical variety and flexibility, but at the cost of those perfect musical intervals that really, truly restore body harmony on the physical and subtle body biofield levels. And these intervals are pure ratios that only exist on the overtone scale or on musical instruments, you know, such as fretless violins, cellos, etc., where one can play intervals without being constrained by the markings on the neck of the instrument. These particular intervals are somewhat purer than the man-made intervals on, you know, on the 12-tone chromatic scale that we use as our basis in the West. And I'm not knocking the piano or the guitar or anything. I'm just saying those intervals are just enough out of tune with nature to keep us slightly separated from being in true natural resonance with creation and with our surroundings. And overtone singing, when you hear it, something goes click. And very often in a concert, if I open my eyes, you know, and I'm singing overtones, very often there are people with tears streaming down their cheeks. And it's not because I'm singing anything particularly emotional. It's simply that hearing those overtones somehow brings things into alignment. And all of us have suppressed things that we need to release. And mm-hmm. so sometimes listening to overtones can provoke that immediate emotional response.
Beautiful. Nessa, we're going to savor these words, and then we're going to take a very short station break and then be back with more wisdom from Nessa Kornblum on overtone singing.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and today with me in studio is Nessa Kornblum, a pioneer in overtone singing. He has taught thousands of people around the world how to overtone, sing, how to unlock those vocal harmonics. He's taught them the beauty of sound healing, and he and his wife have a wonderful studio. I am not sure if your studio is called Harmonic Sound Studio in Spain or lovingly called The Dome, right? So the Dome, I think you really built this space, yeah, especially for, I think your whole family, it seems like you all carry this passion of your wife is a beautiful singer and healer and yes, sound healer. Your daughter, Charlie, I've heard her sing. I think you have another, daughter. Am I correct? Who might also sing?
Yes.
You may have. Yeah.
Naomi also sings and plays sitar and percussion. She lives in Barcelona.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
Our son, he's not wild, so wild about it, but no, he works for UNICEF in New York.
Beautiful.
And he did learn to sing overtones and play didgeridoo, although he's abandoned it in recent years.
Well, but, it's not easy in New York, right? That. I mean, it's not easy in New York with the very tiny apartments in New York to take that space needed for the didgeridoo. The didgeridoo is a very long instrument.
Yeah,
you need a very big room to have it, yeah. But I can imagine
not
it's...
Not to mention it's, very tolerant neighbors.
Yeah, very tolerant neighbors. I can imagine it is, though. Yeah, it must be very beautiful to sing together, to breathe together, to have a practice together as a family that, you know, even if it's only for a few short moments, to kind of, you know, sink in to each other. Like, so many people are just, you know, on their phones or distracted. And like you said, it's a very coherent practice. And I was thinking when you were talking before the break, so many people talk about heart-brain coherency, but they forget that the voice resides and dwells between the heart and the brain. So there's a coherency that happens through us activating this core sound, right? And
very much. Well, and of course,
yeah, no share. Yeah. I mean, for those listeners out there, what's so precious about these radio shows is that we are doing it the old-fashioned way, so we're really deepening our listening because we're not visually seeing each other, so we have to tune in to each other's questions and answers. I was going to say, what was the turning point for you in your life where you said, I want to devote my life? I mean, at some point you didn't do overtones. So where was the turning point where you started doing overtones and realizing
that was the pivotal moment? You see, actually, when Michelle was pregnant with Charlie, that's 27 years ago and a bit, she went to a workshop where she learned some very basic overtone technique. And there was actually no technique with it. It was just, you know, chant this word and draw it out. And when she returned from this training, and she was 6 months pregnant with Charlie at the time, she shared that with me. And at the time, I was just going on 30. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up, you know,
Yeah.
You know, and I had spent almost a whole career, 12, 13 years, really, in the hospitality catering industry, cruise ships and things like that. And so I just settled here in Spain and met Michelle, and it was a whirlwind affair. And so Charlie was on the way, and Michelle sang this overtone to me, and I heard this little tinkling sounds above her voice, little whistling, tinkly sounds. And when I started to do it myself, I just was transported, and it was like an arrow in my heart. It was unbelievable to hear these sounds. I immediately heard my own overtones. And the effect that it had on me was so profound. I knew in that moment that I'd connected with something very, very special in my life, and that this was my life's purpose. Yeah. Not just the overtones, but the overtones as an entry, as a portal into the world of sound and vibration. Of course, I'd always been I came from a very musical family, although I never learned any instruments at all. I did sing a year in a choir as a boy soprano, actually in the synagogue.
In Johannesburg. Yeah, that's hard to believe you as a soprano because your voice is so low now, right?
Cara, all of us boys were sopranos.
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful. Yeah.
So this was before my voice changed, obviously. But yes, of course, I had that taste of what it was like when your voice is soaring high, and that wonderful, amazing feeling. And in fact, overtones brought that back to me after many, many years of not really singing or doing anything musical at all. And so I only began really at the age of 30. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be 58 this year. So it's 28 years of rapid learning. And of course, only after that did I pick up the didgeridoo and Native American flutes and overtone flutes and monochords and other instruments. I still don't play anything that requires complex chords or fingering or anything like that. But I don't need to, because overtone singing just goes beautifully with drone instruments and a lovely held fundamental.
Yeah. How was it for you as a young boy? I'm just curious. What was it like for you when you went through the voice change? Did you stop singing afterwards, or were you able to continue? Because for a lot of young men, this is a trauma. They are singing and they feel so free and happy, and they come into puberty. And I mean, I managed to, you know, guide them then through it often, and keep those high notes and the low notes. But many of them, they really stop totally singing. So do you remember the feeling?
It can be a trauma. Yeah, if you don't have the right support in your family and surroundings, it can be a trauma on the voice. And and then they come to to Michelle or to someone like yourself to overcome their vocal blockages, etc. For me, it was a challenge. It was not comfortable when I had to strain to keep that soprano from splitting. And then, of course, I had to just face reality and realize that my voice was changing. But I still insisted on chanting, singing, intoning, if you like, my my bar mitzvah ceremony at 13, when the Jews celebrate their manhood. I had a choice to recite it or to sing it, and I chose to sing it. And I only squeaked a couple of times, nothing too serious. Because I suffered from terrible stage fright. It took me a long time. When I started the overtones, to get back into, you know, to standing up and singing overtones in front of people was a huge challenge.
Yeah. Nestor, going from soprano to the deep voice, you are a handful of Westerners that have mastered the deep voice overtone chanting. And I believe it's also the chanting done by the Tibetan monks and the Tuvan Mongolian singers. And it allows you to sing up to four notes simultaneously, so instead of hearing the two. Is that correct? I mean, I think I've heard of people even singing up to, I don't know, somebody told me 16 notes, but it's not simultaneously, right? So you're doing four simultaneously when you do the deep voice overtone chanting.
What happens, what happens with what we call the deep voice is actually a Western term, because that also embraces the Tibetan style, which is actually quite slightly different to the Mongolian Tuvinian style, which is called Kargira. And the Kargira means activating the false vocal cords. So as you intone a humming sound, you then bring in the throat lining and you engage the false vocal cords, which many people may not know are the folds of skin, the
vestibular folds, right?
The ventricular folds that prevent food from falling down onto the vocal cords and down the trachea into the lungs, etc. And these, of course, are much thicker folds of skin than the real vocal cords, so they cannot match the exact note that you sing, but they will, through sympathetic resonance, they will vibrate at exactly one octave below the note you are singing. So you get this effect, and I've got a good microphone here, so this will probably carry through. Normal voice. So it's actually two fundamental tones that you're singing there.
Yeah. Fascinating. Was this also
as a result, you can get two overtones. So you can, at the very same time as you're doing that, you can create overtones from the back of the throat.
Okay.
And with the lips at the very same time. So most likely this will be perhaps lost in translation, but I could just give you a little sample.
Right. That's amazing. And thank you for having such a good... No, thank you for having such a good mic. We heard a lot of the other overtones and then the undertone, right? The octave below. Is this the technique that you used on the track Ascension? Because you opened that track with a very low voice.
Actually, Cara, on Ascension, there is my deep voice, but it opens with three Tibetan monks who were visiting the dome.
Ah, nice.
Including a very super chant master who has the most incredible resonant voice. And they gave me written permission to use their prayer, which they called Tsoket, and to sing my overtones with them, the low ones and the higher ones above. So I've literally made a trance, a kind of a trancey song.
Yeah.
With them chanting in the background and then layers of my own voice above it.
Beautiful. Let's listen.
So they are real lamas, and it's recorded in the dome. Yes, which, as you mentioned earlier, we did create especially to have a wonderful delay and natural delay and resonance.
Powerful,
super
powerful
acoustics for the kind of work that we do.
Exactly. Yes. So let's listen into Ascension, and then I'm sure, looking at the clock, that we're going to go from Ascension right into the next break and then come back. So really enjoy Ascension. This is from Nestor Kornblum, who's with me in studio.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and today with me in studio is Nestor Kornblum, and we are talking all about overtone singing and sound healing. Nestor, I wanted to ask you a little bit about retuning our ears. Or our ears are part of the fifth chakra, which is the throat chakra. So what is
correct?
how are the ears linked to our voice, or what fascination do you have with listening, deep listening, our ears? How can they help us to sing better, to speak better, to have better relationships, probably to do everything better? But what's your take on our lovely ears?
Yes. Well, of course, firstly, Kara, I find that many people don't quite realize that the ears belong to the throat chakra. Mm-hmm. And of course, communication is bidirectional. So we literally cannot learn without vibrational input.
Yeah.
It was the Dr. Alfred Tomatis who said that we cannot repeat sounds we have not first heard. Which is, of course, not 100% true, because there are sounds, spontaneous sounds of pain or whatever that perhaps you've never heard before, but can still create them. But generally, we cannot create sounds that have not first activated the brain through the nervous system, via the ears.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very important to note that the cochlea has these spiral formats in its formations, and it's the cochlea that allows us to tune into different octaves of sound, because octaves will ascend and activate the same region on consecutive spirals of the cochlea and the liquid therein. So I'd say, of course, it's very important both in learning overtones, but also in tuning in to singing, humming, and using your voice generally to spend a lot of time deep listening. And as you pointed out earlier, even those who perhaps don't feel they can hold a tune, overtone singing, of course, is well within everyone's reach, because one only has to literally hold a single tone. I find that it's learning any kind of singing or overtone singing techniques, listening is at least 50% of the learning process.
Yeah.
It definitely is. And so I'm quite repetitive as a teacher, and I try not to scare my students away by letting them believe I'm just in love with the sound of my own voice. Because literally a very important part of learning overtones is to retune the ears. Even though Pythagoras discovered the overtone series 2,600 years ago, Cara. I'm astonished at how little knowledge there is and how little education there is in music conservatories, music schools all over the world. It's almost as if it's been kept as a secret, or the knowledge of it suppressed. Of course, it was the Masons that kept the knowledge of overtones and those beautiful harmonic ratios and proportions that we see in the octave 1 to 2, the perfect fifths 2 to 3, etc. The major third 4 to 5. Those ratios are very important both to listen to, but they occur naturally and in perfect harmony on the overtone series. And as the ear picks this up, there is quite a lot of retuning in the brain hemispheres, and it activates also more synapses in the brain, especially in the language centers of the brain. There's so much that happens when you listen and sing overtones. But yes, I totally agree that the ears are vitally important to this process.
Well, music is anyway this full brain experience, right? I think that is also what's fascinating, that the scientists know that so many different parts of the brain are activated when we sing and create music. And I was saying, for the yes, people that feel that they can't be in tune, from my experience, it's so often tension. It's so often a wrong idea. You know, they believe that they need to do almost too much, and then they end up, you know, forcing too much breath through a very small space, and it's very hard for them to relax. And as soon as people start relaxing and deeply listening, and they can get the tension out of their jaw and tongue, often everybody's singing in tune in a very short time. The thing I can't remember who discovered this. I'm sure you're going to know this, but I discovered this a few years back, and it had been kept secret for a long time from me too, even though I'm, you know, have so much training, that the ears are also emitting tones, right? So the ears, I mean, we're listening, we're taking in, but just, you know, they are also emitting. Do you know this? That there's a scientist, I think it was in the 50s, and they can measure the frequencies and the tones that are being released by our ears at all times.
Yeah, I have seen something about it, Cara, but I have to be quite honest that I would love to read more deeply on that particular subject, because it's not something that I've really looked into, but I have heard about it.
This fascinating thing about with voice, we you know, we're giving and we're receiving. I mean, at you know, with breath, with voice, with sound. It's I forgot the name of the scientist, but they, when kids are born, they can do the test so that they know that if they're deaf or not, and they get the necessary care. But that has to do with our amazing ears. Let's listen. We have a couple very, very short more minutes, but let's listen then to your last track that you sent in, and that is called Consciousness. And as we said at the top of the hour, we can shift the states of consciousness through voice, through singing. We can literally have these trance-like states that are happening when we do sing. Would you like to share a few words on this track, or should we just dive in?
Yeah. Actually, this entire CD, well, it actually was published, you know, some people may remember those discs that we call compact discs
in this world. Back in the day.
Digital music. But I did consciously create this CD to be deeply relaxing, and so I have not done frantic or fancy or shamanic type overtones. That each piece comes in very, very slowly. I mean, you might want to just even fade it in after the first minute or so, because they are very long pieces, and they are designed for very deep trance-like states. And Yeah, so I just would love to say to the listeners that don't be daunted by overtone singing. It's far easier than you might believe, and it's a way of using your voice first in a non-threatening way. Mm-hmm. And it will be a wonderful stepping stone into freeing your voice more fully in various other more traditionally singing ways.
Yes. So we can see if we can go in. I'm not sure if we're able to do that in the studio, but if not, we can just listen to a little, you know, a short taste, and then the listeners, you guys out there, have heard this magical album, and then we'll be back, of course, with more. Let's listen in consciousness. You're listening to Consciousness. Nestor, these are your closing words. I just want to give the people your homepage address. HarmonicSounds.com is where you're doing a lot of your trainings, also online trainings, and also trainings at the magical dome, the dome in Spain, for those of you that want to fly in or you're already in Europe. Yeah, passionate about voice and the healing power of music. This show is about creating a sound world. What is your vision for our world? Where would you like to see us be at?
Well, yeah. Well, funnily enough, we called our first sound workshops many, many years ago The Enchantment. Mm-hmm. And really, I think our work is about, besides educating on actual specific healing techniques, we'd like to re-enchant the world. So they enchant with chant to unite people's voices, and really the human voice is the most powerful tool on the planet to create change at every level and in every medium. The human voice is literally the sound, the vibration that enables each one of us to be co-creators with God, Goddess, the Creator, and to participate in that creative process. So please, everyone, do not deny yourself. Don't wait for that voice workshop or coaching or whatever it is you may need to overcome blockages. Get in there. Your voice will unlock the key to your spirit and your soul's purpose.
That was so beautiful, Nestor. I thank you so much for being with me today here at Voice Rising. And I wish you lots of...
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.